Looks like we're turning back to the book of Romans here again for our scripture reading today, Romans chapter 1. Kind of take off where we were last week. Romans chapter 1, last week we read verses 18 through 23, and today we're going to pick up at verse 24 and read through the remainder of the chapter. Romans chapter 1, starting with verse number 24. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's pray. Father, certainly before us here today, we have very challenging words. These words that really just cut right into our minds and into our hearts and souls. And Father, we want to know exactly how we need to respond and react in our challenge as we take these words into our hearts and as we learn from them and as we grow from them and as we act upon them. So Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will act upon each and every one of us here today, that we grow from these words. And Father, I hide behind the cross as I speak the message that I have prepared in my heart, that the Holy Spirit has guided me to say here this morning. Father, to you be all the glory and honor for what transpires in the transformation of our lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, we're winding down in this sermon series titled The American Christian, and this is week number 11. And it looks like, from what I can gather, it looks like we're going to go this week, this today, and we'll conclude this series next Sunday. And then when I come back from vacation, we'll move on to another topic. We've answered many questions throughout the series. Some of the questions have been, and here's some of the answers in real brief form: what is the moral condition of America? Answer, it's extremely sinful. The next question: how did we get this way? How did America get this way? Through hard hearts and seared consciences. That's one way, and that's on an individual level. But we've also got this way because we have parents who are irresponsible, we have governing officials who are self-serving, and we have churches that are absolutely dead, that have contributed to the demise and the sinfulness of our country. Next question: what should I be doing as a Christian in this morally sinful America? And the answer is very simple. We need to share the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, with unbelievers. Because we cannot clean them up on the outside, we all need cleaned up on the inside. And our final question: what is God doing about this condition that we are in? And that's where we left off last week, and that's where we'll pick up today. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, and concluded that the wrath of God, according to verse number 18, is being revealed from God from heaven. Why? And the answer I gave was this: because 2016 America wants God out of our homes, he wants God out of our businesses, he wants God out of our schools, he wants God out of our government, he wants God, in some respects, out of our churches. He wants God removed from the Pledge of Allegiance, wants God removed from our money and from our currency. So, with all of us wanting God out of all those things, what's God doing about that? And God is honoring our request. Now, granted, not everybody wants God out of our schools and businesses and government, etc., etc., and certainly not out of our churches. There are pockets of really good, solid churches like Beech Grove Church and like many, many others across the country. But folks, we are becoming the minority. We are. So what kind of wrath is God actually revealing to us? I said last week he's revealing the wrath of abandonment. God is letting us go. In other words, he's letting America reap what we have sown. God is allowing America to wallow in the harvest of all of our unrighteousness and all of the ungodliness that we have sown in the last decades and years. So two questions we'll answer here this morning. Number one, how does God do this? How does God abandon a person, an individual, or abandon a church, abandon a denomination, or even abandon a nation? Answer, he removes his restraining grace. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1. This was actually written in your bulletin last week, but I'm going to read it because it is so good and pertinent to this message. Proverbs chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 20 through the remainder of the chapter. And just listen to this. You don't have to follow along with me if you don't want to. But tell me if this doesn't sound like America today. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, and when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call out to me, and I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat of the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Verse 32, but there's a but. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This world, this country, just possibly might be going to hell in a handbasket. But we who trust in the Lord, we have nothing to fear. It might get very dangerous out there. It might get and be very evil out there. But God has promised that he will continue to take care of those who heed and listen to his words. And that would be us. Question number two. So how did I conclude last week that God is abandoning America? Well, how do I know that God is letting America go to their evil ways and turn them over to their own ways? Well, we know that God is removing his restraining grace from America because we just read verses 24 through 32, and I'm going to explain those to you here. Since Americans no longer want God, and I'm going to have that just as a blanket statement over all America. Again, there's pockets of people like us who certainly want God in our country. What's God going to do? God does verse number 24. So if you have your Bibles open, you might want to kind of just continue to read through this with me. So what's God doing? If we don't want God in our country, in our nation, in our schools, in our businesses, it says this in verse 24. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So since we don't want God, some kind of bad things are going to happen to people who don't want God. And we just read it there. We just read it. And now that we don't want God, what's going to happen? Well, it talks about that in verse 24, but it leads us on a little bit more in verse 25. It says this. Here's what we have done. We don't want God? Okay, so they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. Do we see that in America today? Of course we see that in America today. And the second part of that, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. In 21st century America, who is the average 21st century American giving glory to? It's not God, it is who? It is self. Don't we live in a self-centered society? It's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about what can I do? What can God give me instead of what can I give God? We've become a man-centered society instead of a God-centered society. Verse number 24, to sexual impurity. So we don't want God in our society, so we give it over to sexual impurity. What have we seen in the United States of America starting around 1950? We have seen the onslaught of media, television, magazines, books. We have all this technology and radio. We have all these things. And what did, I think there was a gentleman, if that's what you want to call him, by the name of Hugh Hefner. We all probably know that name. Hugh Hefner started this revolution called the sexual revolution. Started some magazines, Playboy magazine, Penthouse magazine, Hustler magazine. Now you have all these magazines that are really promoting sexual impurity in our country. And then you get into the 60s, and what happens in the 60s? Well, summer of 67 was the summer of what? Yes, we know what the summer of 67 was. It was the summer of love. That's just when, hey, let's go to Woodstock. Let's have everybody just take off their clothes and do whatever we want to do because there was no more sexual morality anymore. Sexual morality is now going out the window. We just don't need that anymore. We're 20th century people, and we got to move on. You know, all this thing about morality and staying, you know, wearing decent clothes and things like that. I lived through those things, and probably you did too. Remember? I don't want to get into it. I don't want to start there. But it was pretty. Depends on what side of the fence you were on. Times, if you're on this side of the fence. As Sonny and Cher said, the mini skirt, the current thing. Uh-huh. But if you were on this side, like my parents, they were saying, what's up with these things? My parents refused to let my three sisters wear such things. My parents had a sense of morality, but it was quickly going out the window, was it not? That's what would start happening in the 50s and 60s. So now we have this sexual revolution. So now that we're becoming man-centered, so what happens now? This is where I want to be. So what happens now that this is happening? So because of this, God's going to give us over a second time. He gave us over the first time. We didn't want God. He gave us over to sexual immorality. Now we start worshiping ourselves. We start putting a lie in for God. So he turns us over a second time. Because of this, verse 26, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. That sounds really familiar in today's time. There might have been a sexual revolution in the 50s and 60s, but I guarantee you one thing. Homosexuality and lesbianism was still in the closet, was it not? But what has come out of the closet here in the last 20 years or so? The LGBT movement, the lesbian, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders. And what do they do now? They have gay pride parades. So not only do they come out of the closet, not only are they really worried about the sin that they're committing, they come out and they're proud of it. And the symbol of that is the rainbow. You know, the rainbow used to be this beautiful thing, right? It symbolized the thing about the ark. You know, God would never destroy the world again with a flood. And that was the symbol of the rainbow. And they've used that and turned something that was really good into the symbol of gay pride. Guys being with guys. I was talking to somebody this past week at work. And I said, I remember I was in fifth grade when somebody was telling me that he heard about a guy kissing another guy. And I said, oh, gross. How bad is that? I mean, that wasn't even on my radar. You know, the only thing that was on my radar was Susan Desmond. And that was okay. Susan Desmond was okay. She was on my radar. But to think that there was that a guy could kiss a guy or a girl could kiss another girl, you've got to be kidding me. But God has turned us over, has he not? First, a sexual revolution in the 50s and 60s. And now you get this homosexual, lesbian revolution that we've seen lately. And it says here in verse number 28, and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, a couple things I want to bring out here. First of all, God doesn't call it okay, does it? He doesn't call it okay. He calls it a what? A perversion. It's a perversion when men are with men, when women are with women. And he says they receive the due penalty. Well, I think we have something out there called AIDS, okay? We have sexually transmitted diseases. We have all these things that people are not contracting. There's presently no cure for AIDS. Maybe that's part of the curse. I'm not going to say that for sure, but it sounds pretty bad. So where has this restraining grace that God's letting go, where has it gone so far? What do we see so far? Well, first, we see that Americans suppress the truth and unrighteousness, verse number 18. And then God gives us over. He removes some restraining grace. So what happens when he removes some restraining grace? We fall into sexual sin. So God gives us over some more, removes some more restraining grace. What happens? Now Americans fall into homosexual sin. So what happens next? Verse 28a. And when I say A, I mean just the first part of the verse. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, you would think, I'm just going to stop right there. You would think by this time that we would kind of want to come around back to God again. But what's the progression? Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Isn't that America? I was watching a video clip from the 2012 Democratic National Convention. And they had a gentleman on the platform who said, do we want God on our platform? And it had to be won by 2/3 vote. And he said, all in favor say yay. So some of the crowd said yay. All those not in favor say nay. There were more nays than yays. In 2012, the Democratic National Convention did not want God as part of their political platform. And that's where America is going. I guarantee you one thing. John F. Kennedy would have wanted God as part of his democratic platform. That's what happens in 50 years, 60 years. So then what happens? Okay, so we don't want God anymore. We can't retain the knowledge of God. So he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Some say debased mind. Some might say reprobate mind. My NIV says depraved mind. What is a depraved mind? A depraved mind is a mind that is worthless and useless. It is good for nothing. Personally, if I have ever seen a worthless and useless society of people, it's what I see in so many American people today. Just turn on the TV and watch politics. What has ever happened to good old common sense? And whatever happened to the sense of knowing right from wrong? Maybe we're under the curse of the abandonment of God. Maybe. I'm going to give you five really quick examples of just things that I see in society today that are, I think, great examples of how our minds have become depraved, worthless, useless, not good for anything. Example number one, a person can't get their gender straight. They think they're a girl in a man's body, or they think they're a man in a girl's body. Question, what kind of plumbing did you come with? That's what you are. It's that simple. And what makes it worse is the federal government is now standing behind these people and affirming these people. Yes, folks, that's my tax dollars and your tax dollars at work. Example number two, a person intentionally kills an unborn baby. And they do it for convenience sake. Well, I just don't want a baby at this time. And then they want tax-paying Americans to fund this through places like Planned Parenthood. Depraved. Example number three. A person can spend 5 years in jail for turning back the odometer in a car. But crooked politicians can get away with murder, cover-ups, and lying, while other politicians are afraid to do anything about it. But let's take that used car salesman and burn him right to jail for 5 years. How dare he turn back that odometer in that car when it really has 100,000 miles and he turns it back to 50,000? Where's the justice, folks? Where is the justice? Example number four, Tim Tebow. We all know who Tim Tebow is. He gets literally shunned from football because he takes a knee on the sidelines for his Christian faith. But other players, they can take a knee on the sidelines in protest against things that are un-American and ungodly, and they get away with it. As a matter of fact, their shirts now become the number one best-selling shirt in America. Yes, Mr. Colin Kaepernick has the best-selling shirt in America. Example number five. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I'll phrase it in a question. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are the best qualified people that our Republican and Democratic parties can put forward to lead this great country of ours for the next 4 years? You gotta be joking. Folks, America is being abandoned by God. And we see it right here, verses 24 through 32. His restraining grace is being removed, and we are now in stage three, which means God has given us over to a depraved mind, a reprobate mind, a debased mind, a mind that is useless and worthless. And if you don't see that, watch CNN, and you'll see it. And if you don't see it, I suggest that you take your head out of the sand and wake up to what's happening in the United States of America today. It's not pretty. Because verses 29 through 31 tell us what we have become. So here we are. Since we are worthless and useless, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, and they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Well, that covers at least one of our political candidates running for president. I cannot believe that we are a country that is where we are at. But when you read the explanation, it sounds pretty obvious. You see, we didn't want God. So God said, okay, I'll leave. So he lifts a little of his restraining grace, turns us over to our sexual desires, the sexual revolution, 50s and 60s. And now we don't want God anymore. We want self. He removes some more. And we get turned over to homosexual and lesbian desires, and he removes even more. And now we end up with this depraved mind. And unfortunately, I just see so many people in our government, so many people in our churches, so many people in families that just really don't care about anything else other than themselves. And verse 32 confirms our actions. It says this, although they know God's righteous decree and those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow. We not only do them, and again, when I say we, I'm not necessarily referring to us here at Beech Grove Church, I'm referring to America in general. We not only do them, but we're given affirmation to those who do them. And as I said earlier in the series, it's pretty sad when, I understand an unbeliever doing that. I understand the government doing that because they're full of unbelievers anyways. But it's pretty sad, my friends, when the church falls into those who give hearty approval of these evil deeds, or just as bad, they see it happening and they do absolutely nothing about it. Because they don't want to offend anybody. Oh, there's the key word, isn't it? Oh, let's tolerate everything and let's certainly not offend anybody. That's 21st century America. That's God removing his restraining grace and letting us go. God has spoken through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And woe to those who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Woe to those. What kind of America are we living in today? We're living in a woe America, because this is where we're at. Is God abandoning America? Again, I'll let you decide. I've made up my mind. But next week, we're going to answer one last final question. Can and will God bless America? And can this thing be turned around? Let's pray.